WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there's no due date, tolls, or expiration. Good morning. It's the 21st of December, 2022, a.k.a. the winter solstice, depending on who you're talking to. Some said it was yours day. Some say it's today. I don't know. At least the days are going to get longer either way. Figured for Christmas, the holidays, play a couple of shows here. I'm pretty certain I played them before. I don't know if I played them together. But this double feature is called Old Friends. So I'm going to start things off with John Daner, friend of the show. Even though I don't like the character of Paladin. This is Have Gun, Will Travel. The title of this drama is Hanging Cross. Had an original air date of the 21st of December, 1958.
In my life, I've only seen a dozen real killers. But I've seen 10,000 people who'll sit back and let murder happen. Which is the greater evil?
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of the man called Paladin.
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Paladin.
Good afternoon, Mr. Stanford. Pardon me.
Yes?
You dropped these by the desk.
Oh, thank you very much.
The glove that holds a lady's hand holds a world of prettiness.
Really?
Yes. My name is...
I'm not interested in your name. I don't wish to know it. I don't wish to know you. And if I did, this would not be the day, the hour, nor the place.
I quite understand.
Then if you'll kindly release my hand.
Oh, of course.
Again, thank you very much.
Oh, pretty lady, not too impressed with Mr. Paladin.
We are all entitled to mistakes, hey boy.
Oh, yes, but how often?
Seldom the time, the place, and the loved one all together.
And husband make three. Telegram come for you.
Oh.
Answer?
Yes. Wire back. Have gun. We'll travel.
Crime, delinquency, threats of war. These are the subjects that dominate our news headlines these days. Not very pleasant subjects, are they? You may say that somebody ought to do something about cutting down on crime and delinquency and in promoting peace among nations, but that there's nothing you personally can do about it. That's where you're wrong. You can wage your own fight against crime and delinquency in your own family by taking the family to the church or synagogue of your faith this week. The inspiration and guidance you and they will receive from spiritual contact will strengthen moral background and faith. Regular attendance at religious services will help your family to work out its own problems and give them comfort in facing the tensions of our present-day life. Worshipping together brings your family closer together, too. And supporting your own religious institution provides funds to help those individuals and families who, unlike you, are unable to help themselves. Find the strength for your life. Worship together this week.
In a way, I was sorry to leave San Francisco just as Christmas was coming on. The shop windows, already frosted, were filled with all those wonderful surprises which seemed to appear only at the Christmas season. And there was an excitement in the eyes of passers-by, young and old alike. In the air, there was the smell of cookies and cakes and candies. It was a good time to be in San Francisco. And yet the telegram from Colorado Territory left me little choice. It was a long trip and a cold one. As I got closer to my destination, I heard more about the man named Beecher, the man who had hired me. And I didn't like what I heard. Matt Beecher was a hard man, and he ran his cattle empire with an iron fist. It was the day before Christmas when I arrived at the Beecher Ranch.
You got business here, cowboy?
I was told I'd find Matthew Beecher here.
You found him. I pay you $25 a month if I like your work. This is my foreman, Tater. He'll sign you on.
Howdy.
Now, I didn't come here to hire on as a hand, Mr. Beecher.
No? What did you come for, then?
My name is Paladin. You may remember this.
Have gun, will travel. So?
Well, you sent me a wire asking my help, something about your boy. As I understand it, he was carried off during the Sioux War 6 years ago.
Well, you're too late, mister. I got him back.
Just a few days ago, Mr. Paladin.
Oh, well, I'm glad everything worked out.
It has. Tater, ride him out to the stage trail. He's going to start back now.
And Mr. Beecher, it's a long trip from San Francisco. I'll take travel expenses for my trouble.
You'll get nothing. Put him off the ranch, Tater.
Mr. Beecher?
What?
Does the boy speak any English?
No, he don't. Why?
You speak any Indian dialect?
No.
Well, don't you want to talk to your son?
You speak the Pawnee dialect?
Some.
All right, Tater. Take him up to the main house. We'll talk about them expenses later.
Yes, sir. Come on, Mr. Paladin. Maybe I better set you straight about something.
What's that?
Well, we ain't too sure the boy is Matt Beecher's son.
Well, he seems sure enough.
Yeah, well, Matt's sure of everything. He found a boy riding off from a small band of Pawnees 3-4 days ago. Matt just says, that's my boy, and takes him.
Huh. What do you think, Tater?
Well, he looks Indian to me. Of course, Robbie was only 2 when the Indians took him. That was when they killed Mrs. Beecher, too. And that nearly finished Matt off when they killed his wife.
Tater, is that you?
Yep. Mr. Paladin, this here's my wife, Morty.
Morty?
Mr. Paladin.
How's the boy today, Morty?
Same as yesterday and the day before.
Is he sick?
Well, not hardly. It's just we got to keep an eye on him every minute or he'll squirt away. Boy! Hey, boy! There he is, Mr. Paladin. About as wild as any animal that I've ever seen.
Poor little thing.
Well, what do you think?
I'm about 8 years old, I should think.
Be about right.
He could be white. If some of that grime were scraped off him, it's hard to say.
Hard to scrape it off, too.
Well, what's he say?
I haven't talked to him yet, Mr. Beecher.
Well, talk to him. I'm paying you.
Kono la te shi. Shishoni, shoni kiburi, kiman.
Shiwa, kalate shishoni kio, tegate.
His name is Chiwa. His father is Kalate, chief of the Pawnees.
You listen to me, boy. I'm your daddy. I'd sell my own soul. I'd give it away before I'd lose you again.
He don't understand you, Mr. Beecher.
Well, he's got to feel something this strong, lingo or no lingo. Now, boy, you listen to me. What's the matter with him?
He's afraid of you.
Miss Beecher! Mr. Beecher!
What do you want?
It's Indians, Mr. Beecher.
Indians.
Ponies.
Well, what about them?
Well, they're setting up camp.
Where?
They're over on the East Range.
So they finally come for the boy. All right, Tater.
Yes, sir.
Turn the men out. Make sure they all have rifles.
Yes, sir.
Now, wait a minute.
What?
Before you start shooting, why don't you find out for sure if this really is your boy?
I told you before, I know he's my boy.
You want to believe that, but you aren't sure.
All right, Paladin, say it out. What are you asking for?
Time to talk with those Pawnees.
Well, you go talk then, but I'll tell you one thing for sure. No matter what lies they give you, that boy's mine. And if they try to come after him, there'll be the bloodiest massacre you ever seen.
Filters best. It makes good sense when you smoke Kent. Kent, filters best of all of the brands of cigarettes. Kent tastes the best. Kent tastes the best. A richer taste than all the rest. Kent filters best.
I rode out to the Pawnee camp knowing I had little time and less chance to stop a needless killing. There were squaws, braves, sitting, wandering. There were a hungry people and a lost people. At a tattered teepee, I found Kalete, chief of the Pawnees.
Kalete was once man who greeted white man like brother. Now he wanders, hungry, forgotten like the gray wolf.
I'm sorry. I wondered why Kalete was on this trail.
White man steal children.
Kalete will agree. A man may claim his own son.
Chiwa, my son.
Is he white?
Chiwa, my son.
I ask again, is he white?
Skin is leather bag God made to hold the soul. Color of bag, no matter. He was traded from the Sioux. Our blood has mixed.
But his is white.
He is my son. I take him back.
Kalete, if you take the boy, they'll be killing. This white man has many rifles.
Can rifles kill what has been killed already? Look at my camp. When there is no game, my people starve. We are driven from land and winter is here. But we move no more. We stay here. Soon we take my son.
Hello, Marty.
Hello, Mr. Paladin.
Wow, what's going on inside there?
Oh, everyone's shining up clean. We're going to celebrate Christmas, Mr. Beecher, too.
Mr. Beecher?
Well, I know you won't believe it, but Tater did the trick, says to Mr. Beecher. Maybe the boy will remember Christmas. Now, ain't that a good one? Indian boy bringing us Christmas, first time since Mr. Beecher lost his wife. Oh, got to find some more mess heat for decorating. We're going to have singing and eating and everything.
Sounds fine, Marty.
Well, Paladin, you see the chief?
I talked to him.
What did he say?
He's your son.
I told you he was. You tell them Injuns to get their squaws and their tents off my property?
No.
Why not? You want them all killed?
I want you to understand that Chief Kalate feels that the boy is his son, too, and he feels it very strongly. If you talk to him, I'd be glad to act as interpreter.
The only way I'll talk to him and his flea-bitten braves is with rifle fire.
Listen, Beecher. Chief Kalate is the only father the boy has ever known. You kill him. How are you going to explain that to the boy?
You speak Pawnee. You can explain it.
You're wrong, Mr. Beecher.
Yeah?
I couldn't explain that in any language.
Tater, I said rations, not all these fancy victuals.
Well, it's Christmas, Mr. Beecher.
Now, look. Listen to me, all of you. Listen. If one calf wanders off tonight, we work double tomorrow, even if it is Christmas Day.
All right, boys. The cider's sitting over there just awaiting.
You can't get no stouter, so get to it. Marty, what is it?
The boy is gone.
Gone?
They come and took him.
Was it the Pawnees took him?
Yes, sir.
You knew about this, Paladin.
I thought they'd try, but not so soon.
Get your rifles.
Now, just wait a minute. You're always reaching for a rifle. There's no need for rifles. No hurry. The Pawnees aren't going anywhere. They're tired of running.
Preaching from a gunslinger. You just been aching to speak a piece. Well, speak it, Paladin. Talk don't mean nothing. Say anything you want. I'll still have the last say.
Well, I'm far from being a preacher. But I do know something about killing. Now, these Indians, rightly or wrongly, believe the boy is theirs. And few people love children like the Pawnees. Now, the Chief Kalati might have given up the boy. He knows a wealthy rancher could give the boy more than a starving Indian could, and they're starving. Properly treated, he still might give up the boy. On the other hand, these Pawnees can't run anymore. They're tired. But they would rather die here tonight than give up the child to force. It won't be hard to massacre them. They have no guns. All you have to do is stay out of arrow range. And those you only wound, well, someone will have to press a muzzle against their heads and pull a trigger. Now, this is no Christmas message. I haven't even suggested that to a starving man, food may carry more weight than rifles. As Mr. Beecher can tell you, sentiments like peace, like goodwill, and love, and brotherhood, they're just words. Unless you already know what they mean. And if you don't, even if this were a chapel and I were a preacher, such words would do no good.
Well, I ain't got much to say. We're going out to kill some Injuns. One Injun in particular. Anybody that wants can stay here and draw his time, if you think you can find another job. And those who ain't going with me, speak up. Right now. Yeah. That's the story since the beginning, Mr. Paladin. The belly always wins out.
My dear Watson, with all due respect to Sherlock Holmes, let us establish one fact clearly. There is nothing elementary about the shrewd deductions Eric Severide makes as he analyzes world affairs on CBS Radio. As chief Washington correspondent for CBS News, Mr. Severide has opened to him almost every possible source of information. Experience has sharpened his perspective and given him an extraordinary working knowledge of the forces that make history. It's taught him to view each new development in terms of cause and effect. Each Monday through Friday night, as you join Eric Severide on most of these same stations, you'll find his news analysis remarkably free of snap judgments and predetermined conclusions. You'll discover, too, that his carefully considered appraisals of the news not only contain real clues as to what is going on in the world, but also they make the news as exciting as any Arthur Conan Doyle story.
As Beecher's men spilled out of the doorway of the main house to change clothes and get their rifles, I slipped out the back way and, taking the first horse I saw, headed for the Indian camp. Somehow, I had to keep Matt Beecher from starting a bloodbath he might not be able to stop. Even as Kalati and I talked, I knew there were horses moving in the darkness beyond the Indians' fires. Beecher's horses.
You are a wise man, my son, but we stay.
A man without a gun still might run.
No place to run. I have forgotten how to kill, but not how to die.
But what good does this do the boy?
Could he take another father after this?
We got the camp surrounded. You want to explain that to the chief, Paladin?
He knows it.
You going to stand with them instead of with your own people? I asked you a question.
I heard you.
Peter? Hold up, Peter!
Women. Hold your fire, boys. That's Morty.
Women, what are they doing here?
Mr. Paladin!
Over here, Morty.
We got food and things for them Indians. There's 15 or 20 of us. Is it all right to come in there?
It's the most all right thing in the world, Morty. Come on.
All right, ladies. Get your baskets. We'll get it.
What is?
Call your squaws, Chief. Call your children. Call the boy. They're bringing food and gifts for your people.
Shiloh, Hulange, Hunemo.
Well, they don't look very friendly, Mr. Paladin.
I guess you don't look very friendly to them.
What do we say?
Oh, I'd suggest you try Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas?
To Christian,
Morty, this is Calata. He's the chief of the Pawnees.
How do you do? I only got one pair of hands. Here, you take this basket.
Hold on there, Morty. I'm with you.
Hello, Tater.
Hello, Mr. Paladin.
Come in too, Mr. Paladin.
Well, Pete.
Now, what Beecher's doing is wrong, and I don't care if I do get fired.
Well, look, Mr. Paladin, all the men are coming in.
Why, Morty, you ain't rightly dressed for riding.
Well, ladies, now, that was the time to change, but you sure don't have to.
Well, Chief, there'll be no bloodletting tonight.
Christmas.
That's right. They call it Christmas. It's a time of the year when people pretend there is no evil in the world.
Yeah, I like.
Everybody likes. What about the boy, Chief? His name is Robbie Beecher. His skin is white. Chief?
My boy.
His boy, Chief. You can return the seed to the plant that bore it. He can't take it, nor can I, nor can anyone.
I talk to boy.
I'll talk to his father.
Hold it, Paladin. Right there.
He'll give you the boy, Beecher.
What?
You can take him home tonight. The chief is talking to him now, telling him that you're his father.
I'll kill you, Paladin, if this is some kind of way of getting back at me. When do I get my boy?
I haven't been paid yet. $1,000 cash.
Well, I haven't got it with me.
Well, when can you have it?
Tomorrow?
Then give it to the chief so he can buy some land for himself and his people.
I'll do better than that. I'll give him some land. I feel like I should give something.
It's a good feeling, isn't it?
As a matter of fact, it is.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Beecher.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Paladin.
Paladin.
Good afternoon, hey boy.
When you come back?
Last night, late. Excuse me.
Oh, no. Wait, not her. You met her once, remember?
I remember. She's always dropping her glove.
Oh, too bad. I need trouble. Oh.
I beg your pardon. You dropped your glove.
Oh, so I did.
May I pick it up?
You may.
Thank you. Allow me to introduce myself?
Well, please do.
My name is Paladin.
My name is Eugenie Meyer, Mr. Paladin.
Oh. There's a princess named Eugenie.
I'd rather hear about that glove that holds a lady's hand.
Holds a world of prettiness?
Yes. I like that beginning better. Is there more?
Oh, there's a great deal more, I assure you. But one question, why the change of heart?
Well, it's more a change of mind. The change of heart can come later.
But why? You were very confident in your rejection the last time we met.
Well, you were very confident of yourself, Mr. Paladin. Christmas seems to have humbled you and me.
Then we're both very fortunate. Now we can meet.
Yes.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonnell and stars John Daner as Paladin with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Gene Roddenberry and adapted for radio by John Dawson. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Jess Kirkpatrick, Roy Woods, Richard Beals, Ann Morrison, and Virginia Christine. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
I didn't realize Norm McDonough produced Have Gun, Will Travel, starring a friend of the show, John Danner, that was titled Hanging Cross, with an original air date, the 21st of December, 1958. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford. Tufts Freeform Radio. Before we get to the second half of the holiday program, I'm going to go ahead and let's fulfill an FCC obligation.
If you want to stay alive this holiday season, when you drink, plan not to drive. We'll tell you the reason. You could lose your license and end up doing time. Pay thousands of dollars too in lawyers' fees and fines.
This holiday season, if you plan to drink, plan how to get home safely. Designate a driver or call a cab.
Make a plan before you go when your head is clear. Don't wait till you've had eggnog, hot wassail, or beer.
Brought to you by the Texas Department of Transportation.
Thank you, Texas Department of Transportation. For the second half of the show, we'll meet old friend Jack Webb. And his big franchise show, because he had several other ones. Pete Kelly's Blues, Johnny Madero. This is the one he's most known for, Dragnet. Again, I played this one before. I don't know if I played it last year or the year before, but I kind of liked it. These are all repeats, encore performances, as the BSO would say. Titled Big Little Jesus, has an original air date of the 22nd of December, 1953. Thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Wednesday, December 24th. It was cold in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of Burglary Division. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Captain Bernard. My name's Friday. I'd gone across the street to buy stamps for some Christmas cards I was sending out. It was 9:15 a.m. when I got back to room 45. Burglary. I sat down at a table in the squad room and I started to address the cards when Frank walked in carrying a stack of Christmas boxes.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Christmas cards, huh? A little late, aren't you?
Well, I was going to send them out Monday, but we had that stakeout.
You ought to get married, Joe.
Yeah?
It's the only system. Faye does all that stuff for me. Laundry, mails cards, only system.
Might help.
You got a big stack there.
Ought to cut down the list. Look at this here. Upholstery shop.
Yeah?
They send me a card every year. I never get anything upholstered.
Fay and I ought to go over our list. Cut off a few names. I brought in your present. Want to open it now?
No, I'll wait.
I always open a couple a day before.
Why?
Well, put you in the spirit ahead of time. I opened Phil's this morning.
Who's he?
Fay's brother in Denver. Gave me a magazine, one of those funny ones.
What do you mean, a comic book?
No, one of those funny ones, you know.
No, I don't, Frank.
Well, some of the pages have holes in them. You look through and there's a picture on the next page.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those on the newsstand.
They have cloth pasted in.
Cloth?
In the ads. If you want to buy a suit, they have a sample right there.
You mean you can feel it?
Reach right out and feel it. There was one for $200.
A suit?
Sure. Cloth comes from Scotland.
What's it made out of, solid gold?
No, they got a special kind of goat over there. It's real smooth.
Not a goat, Frank. A sheep.
Well, it's a special kind of sheep, then, because a suit costs $200.
You gonna get one?
I told Faye. She said, wear the sample. Anything doing?
Fanning and Pryor were in on that market holdup.
They come up with anything?
Pound of air, nothing else.
I hope it stays quiet. I got more shopping to do.
I finished.
What'd you get, Ann?
Stationery set, some paper and envelopes, leather binding.
Joe, you'll never learn.
Well, what's the matter?
No woman wants a stationery set. Get her something personal.
Well, it's got her initials on it.
No, no. You want something more sentimental, romantic.
What'd you get, Faye?
It's different in her case.
What'd you get, Faye?
Sewing machine.
That's romantic.
Well, it isn't a way.
Why didn't you buy her a catcher's mitt?
Burglary Friday. Yes, that's right. You have the right department. All right, Father, we'll be right down. No, you can tell us about it there. Goodbye.
The old Mission Church, they've had a theft.
Collection money?
Statue of the Child Jesus. Frank and I checked out of the office and rode over to the church at the corner of Sunset Boulevard and Main. The old Mission Plaza Church, founded 1781, the year Los Angeles became a pueblo. The outside was typical early Spanish design, complete with mission arches. It was made of adobe and painted white. They called it the Queen of the Angels. The padres from down in Mexico built it. The devout Mexicans in town still attended services there. 10:05 a.m., Frank and I crossed through the courtyard. It used to be the old stable, but the Spanish priest changed all that when it became a mission. Stonemasons paved the stable floor and made it a courtyard. They planted grapevines, trees, and flowers. A young priest crossed the courtyard to meet us. He'd been sitting on a stone bench reading his morning prayers, as priests had done here for 172 years. We asked for Father Xavier Rojas, who communicated with us. We were told he was inside. We entered a side door. The church seemed to glow with the hundreds of votive candles flickering on both sides of the altar and at the shrines throughout the church. It was empty except for a few people praying. Surrounding the main altar were several old oil paintings in gold frames. The air was heavy with the scent of Advent flowers. We found Father Rojas up near the sanctuary, looking at the nativity scene. He told us about the crib. It was a $70 duplication of the scene at Bethlehem. The parishioners had taken up a collection for it 31 years ago. It was put up every year on December 22nd and taken down after the holy season. It was beautiful, except that one of the shepherds had lost an arm, the sheep was old and cracked, and the infant Jesus was missing. Father Rojas led us back into the sacristy.
I'm sorry to bother you, man.
It's all right, Father.
Especially now, the holiday season.
We cash our checks, Father. You want to tell us what happened?
Or what you think happened?
I discovered the statue was missing right after the 6 o'clock Mass.
You say the 6?
Yes. I started over to the rectory and stopped by the crib.
Was the statue there before Mass?
I don't know, but it was there last night.
How late is the church open?
All night.
You leave it wide open so any thief can walk in?
Particularly thieves, Sergeant.
You say it was there last night, Father. How late?
10 or 11 o'clock. We had confessions.
No one saw it after that?
One of the altar boys. He says it may have been there. He thinks it was.
Did he see it?
He's not sure.
What's his name?
Pardon me. Here's the schedule. You'll find the names for every Mass there.
Was there a big crowd at the 6 o'clock Mass, Father?
Not too many. 7's the big one. People on their way to work.
Did anyone stay after Mass, did you notice?
Not especially. I came back here, took off the vestments. I suppose it was 10 or 15 minutes before I went back in the church.
It was empty then?
No, people were coming in for the 7 o'clock.
Are these the Alder boys, James Corneen and Joseph Heffernan?
That's right. Joe's the one who mentioned it might have been there.
Did you check with the other priests, Father?
Before I called you. None of them knows anything about it.
Just for a check on the pawn shops, how much is the statue worth?
In money?
Well, that's the point in pawn shops, Father.
Only a few dollars. We could get a new one, but it wouldn't be the same. We've had children in the parish. They've grown up and married. It's the only Jesus they know.
We understand.
And we've had children who died. It was the only Jesus they knew. So many of the people who come here are simple people. They wouldn't understand, Sergeant. It would be like changing the evening star.
We'll do our best, Father.
That's why it would mean so much to have it back for the first Mass on Christmas.
It's not very long, Father.
Less than 24 hours.
If anything turns up here, you know where to get in touch with us.
Yes. It's sad, isn't it?
How's that?
In so short a time, men learn to steal.
Yes, but consider us, Father.
Us?
If some of them didn't, you and I'd be out of work.
10:50 a.m., we notified pawn shop detail. Frank and I checked out the two Alder boys. The first one, James Corneen, said he knew nothing about the missing statue. The second one, Joseph Heffernan, was not at home. His father said he had a part-time job, but he'd have him get in touch with us right after lunch. By 11:30 a.m., we'd run out of book procedure. We had a man to find. Our only clue? He'd been to church. 11:33 a.m. We checked the phone books for the names of religious stores in the area. Two of them were closed. We tried the third. When we got there, the only person in the store was an elderly man sitting by a table. In front of him was a large, beautifully carved chess set.
We're police officers. My name's Friday. This is my partner, Frank Smith.
Great to see you. Caught me in the middle of a big chess match.
Where's your partner?
Up in San Jose. We've been playing for years.
Same match?
No, just 2 or 3 months on this one. What I meant was we've been playing different matches for years.
I see.
You know, we do it through the mail. I send him a move, he sends me one.
Must keep you on your toes.
Except during the holidays, the mail gets all fiddled up. That's no good.
Guess not.
Slows things down, that's no good. I like to catch him off guard.
You Mr. Flavin?
How do you know? We never met.
Your name's on the window out front.
Mr. Flavin, we checked the other two religious stores in this neighborhood. They're closed.
This is the best one anyway. 50% European items.
We're checking the stores around the Mission Church.
For what?
Statue of the Child Jesus. Do you have one we could look at?
Sure.
No, sir, a larger one.
You don't want a larger one, unless it's for a church. That's why you want a larger one.
Could we see it, please?
Not my due to butt in. But unless you live in a big place, this will make your living room all a kilter.
Yes, sir. Do most of the people who go to the Mission Church trade here?
Good many of them, especially the kids.
Why kids?
More religious. Check on yourself. See if kids aren't more religious than you.
Might be so.
That's what's wrong with the world. Oh, I don't mean you're wrong with it. Everybody.
Yes, sir. What if we could stick to the point, Mr. Flavin?
Sure. A lot of people from the Mission Church come in here.
Do people ever come in and sell back a religious article?
Like a prayer book or rosaries?
Yes, sir.
Second hand, you mean?
Yes, sir.
Not since I've ever been around. It's silly.
Why?
People don't have religious articles so they can get rid of them. They have them so they can have them.
But if a man had a statue and wanted to sell it, he'd come to a place like this.
Sure, but he wouldn't want to sell it.
He would if it was stolen.
No, sir. If a man was to steal a statue, he'd be crazy or something like that. The only place he'd want to go is where crazy people are.
You may be right, Mr. Flavin.
I don't know what you fellas are looking for, but if it's somebody who stole a statue, he's crazy and you won't find him. You won't find him as long as you live, or in a million years.
That should cover it.
We checked religious stores out as far as Van Ness. We asked the same questions. The owners gave us the same answers, but none of them were as encouraging as Mr. Flavin. Frank and I had lunch and reported back to the office. It was 1:30 p.m. when we started into the squad room. The captain was just coming out.
I just checked for you in the lunchroom.
Yeah, we've been out on that theft at the mission.
May get some action on the Patterson case.
They locate him?
I think he's on the bus from Sacramento.
Well, that means the Bakersfield police.
We'll wait and see.
One of you fellas, Sergeant Freddy?
He is.
I'm Joe Heffernan. My father said you wanted to see me.
Well, sit down, son. You didn't have to come in. A phone call would have worked.
My father said to get on over. He says that any kid that uses phones is lazy.
We want to ask you about this morning. You serve 6 o'clock mass?
Yes, sir. I'm senior boy, so I get the 6.
You're senior and you take the early trick?
Yes, sir. That way, if you receive communion, you get to have breakfast sooner.
Father Rojas says you think the statue was there before mass.
I didn't look, but I have a feeling it was there.
A feeling?
You know, how you have a feeling about something, but you're not sure.
Did you stay around long after mass?
I put out the candles and hung up my surplice.
How long would that take?
About 5 minutes, maybe.
Did any of the people at mass stay on?
Some moms do, especially ladies.
Oh?
Maybe they don't finish in time, or else they start new prayers. I don't know.
So when you left, there were still some women there?
No, sir. That was at first. After I went back to the sacristy, there was only this one man.
What man?
He comes at 6 o'clock all the time.
Do you know his name?
No, sir. But he works down in Olive, you know, paint shop, where they paint signs.
Could you describe him?
Sort of medium. He's wearing a suit that didn't match.
Didn't match?
You know, different pants than coat.
How about his age?
Oh, he's pretty old.
Take a guess.
About 40, maybe. There's nothing particular about him.
Then why did you notice him?
I've seen him before. And the bundle, I guess.
The bundle?
Out in front. I saw him when he was coming out. He had this bundle, and he almost dropped it.
How large a bundle?
It's hard to say.
Come on, son. Was it large or small, the size of the statue?
About that big. Yes, sir.
Located the sign shop. The suspect didn't work there anymore, but we discovered his name was Claude Stroop. We found out where he lived. 2:25 p.m. We arrived there. It was a hotel for men, mostly old men, mostly down and outers. It was called the Golden Dream.
Police officers, we're looking for Claude Stroop.
Hope Claude didn't get in any trouble.
So do we. Is he in?
No. He's got room 307. You can check if you like.
We'll take your word. Were you on this morning?
Yeah, the early shift. Well, we don't have shifts. My uncle owns the place. I'm the shift.
Did Stroop spend last night here?
Came in about 11.
When did he leave this morning?
Around 6, maybe before.
Did he come back after?
8 o'clock or so. Then left. Supposed to be back at 10. And pulls this trick.
What trick?
A program. He knows the other fellas need him.
Program?
They're here at the hotel. Every Christmas we have a program. Put up a tree and sing. They're mostly old fellas. Singing like that makes them remember back when they were kids. Then Jimmy Finn comes on.
Jimmy Finn?
He shares number 409. His family once had a lot of money, so he tells the fellas about it. Stories about Christmas. How they had this big log, and his grandfather used to start it up. And after dinner, everybody turned over his plate, and there underneath was a $20 gold piece. Brand new one.
When Stroop came in this morning, did he have a bundle?
I didn't see him come in.
You said you saw him.
I saw him go out after, but not come in.
When was that?
8. If you want to look for a bundle, I could give you his key.
We don't have a warrant.
It's all right. I know about police. It's all right with me.
It's not with us.
I didn't mean that. I just meant it was all right with me.
Good King Wenceslas, lost, look down on the feast of Stephen.
There were 3 old men. We couldn't tell how much better they would have been with Stroop singing the fourth part, but somehow you didn't care. This was Christmas at the Golden Dream, and it sounded fine.
That night, though the cross was cruel, when the poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel.
This is the last rehearsal. I got most of the songs down pat.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that's why it's a shame Claude isn't here. He's tenor and they need him to make it sound just right.
Does Stroop have a job?
No, sir. He used to have jobs. Not much lately, though.
Did he say where he was going?
No, he should have. The fellas need him.
When he comes in, will you call us?
Sure, and not say anything to him.
That's right.
I hope it's nothing serious for Claude. The fellas' troubles ought to be over.
Troubles?
Way back. It wouldn't count.
Tell us anyway.
Well, I don't know much about it.
As much as you know. Now, come on.
Well, something back where he used to live. He robbed somebody or something.
What else?
That's all. It was a long time ago, way far back. But he forgot it all, the robbing and everything.
No, not quite.
Hmm?
He remembered it this morning.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. For Jesus Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us.
Back to the office and ran Stroop's name through R&I. If he'd been booked anywhere, we had no record of it, at least not under that name. 4:15 p.m., pawn shop detail reported back. No object resembling the statue of the child Jesus had been turned in. 4:18 p.m., I hung up the phone.
Patterson's on that Sacramento bus.
I thought Bakersfield had it.
They were supposed to confirm. They did. Hopper at the station.
What about Fanning and Pryor?
They're still out.
Well, they'll be back soon. When's the bus arrive?
6:00.
There's plenty of time for them to make it.
There's more time for you.
We're still in that theft.
Can it wait?
No.
What is it? $10, $15 statue?
When's the price determine a case?
I realize it's a church statue, but that doesn't give it priority.
It's important to them, Captain. Joe and I promised to get it back.
What do you got on it?
Nothing much.
And why are you so big-hearted?
Burglary Friday. When? No. Don't say anything. No. Right. It's Claude Stroop. He just walked into the hotel. He's our suspect.
Nobody's leaked to him?
No.
You'll keep. You can run him down tomorrow.
It'll be too late then.
I need it for the first mass in the morning, Skipper. It's kind of a big thing for them.
I'm sorry. I can't juggle details around so you can get a statue back. If there's time later on, we'll do our best.
Yes, sir.
You better get over to the station.
Yes, sir. Will you call Father Rojas over at the mission?
Why?
Tell him we're too busy to work on that statue.
But we'll do it later. Tomorrow or when we get a chance.
Why can't you call him?
Well, we better get over to the station.
If Patterson's on that bus, we don't want to miss him.
All right, I'll call him. Friday.
Yeah.
I can send Fanning and Pryor over. You might as well stay on that other thing.
Whatever you say, Captain.
PM. We arrived at the Golden Dream Hotel. The desk clerk was right. Claude Stroop looked like a man who'd had his troubles at bargain rates.
Your name, Claude Stroop?
Yes, sir.
Police officers, we'd like to talk to you.
I didn't do anything against the law. Honest, I didn't do anything against it.
You haven't been accused.
Want to take you downtown?
We'd like to talk to you.
No, sir. I'm not going. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to talk to anybody.
You're half wrong already.
PM. We returned Stroop for interrogation. He kept his word. He refused to talk. 6:05 p.m. Frank called Faye, told her he'd be a little late. Stroop didn't move for a whole hour. He sat and stared, but he didn't talk. 6:40 p.m. We got a final report from pawn shop detail. The shops were closed. There was no statue. Stroop still hadn't talked.
Don't you ever want to go home, Stroop?
If I was to talk, you wouldn't let me go.
Depends on what you'd say.
I'd say it wrong and I wouldn't get home.
You won't this way either.
I'd like to go, you can bet on that. This is the 7th year we had the program, and I never missed a one. Not a single one.
Why don't you tell us what happens, Drew?
How would I know you'd let me go?
You wouldn't.
I might as well anyway.
All right, what happened from Mass on?
Well, there was Mass. I came out and started down toward the hotel.
Back up.
I left my stuff at the hotel, and then I picked up George's car. I didn't steal it. He said I could have it any time I wanted. Only this time I didn't ask him. I took it and started out.
Yeah.
I should have asked, but I just didn't. I went over to Grand Avenue for the Christmas bulbs where this fellow sells them secondhand. It was coming out of the lot, but I did it.
Yeah.
The bumper must have caught the other car. Didn't leave too big a dent, but there was this long scratch. I got out and tried to wipe it off with my handkerchief. You know, spit on it like. Only didn't do no good. I didn't think anybody saw. I don't know how you fellas found out about it.
I'll check auto records.
Right. Stroop, we didn't bring you down here to talk about that.
You didn't?
No. There's a statue missing from the church. A statue of the child Jesus.
You mean I took it?
You took a bundle out of church.
Yes, sir. That was my other pants for the program tonight. I had a place sewed up and there was a button on it. You can check. And take a statue.
I don't think you would either.
He's clear at auto records.
Go on home.
For the program? You mean it's all right?
Good night, Stroop.
Good night.
too.
Well, I don't know. We could stay and work on it tonight.
Wouldn't do any good. We won't find it.
I don't think so.
No use kidding the priest. Build his hopes up.
Might as well go tell him now. Merry Christmas.
p.m. We found Father Rojas. Frank told him how it was, that we couldn't get the statue back by morning, but that we'd keep trying during the week. He said he understood. We told him we had to get on. As Frank and I started to leave, the doors at the main entrance to the church opened. It was a good 200 feet away. It was hard to be sure, but it looked like a small boy drawing a bright red wagon behind him. When he got closer, you could see he was no bigger than a pint of milk. It was a luminous-eyed little Mexican boy with a face as young as yesterday. The priest seemed to know him.
Paquito?
In the back of the wagon was the missing statue of the child Jesus. He picked it up gently and walked up to the priest.
Padre Rojas?
He just stood there looking up at Father Rojas.
Paco Mendoza, a boy from the parish.
Ask him where he found it.
¿Dónde lo encontraste?
No lo encontré, lo cogí esta mañana.
He didn't find it, he took it.
Why?
¿Por qué?
Todos los años Paquito rezó por un camioncito rojo. Este año Paquito rezó al niño Jesús. Yo prometí al niño Jesús el primer viaje en mi camioncito.
He says all through the years he's prayed for a red wagon. This year he prayed to the child Jesus. He promised that if he got the wagon, the child Jesus would have the first ride in it.
¿Tendrá el diablo para llevar a Paquito?
He wants to know if the devil will come and take him to hell.
That's your department, Father.
No el diablo. Jesús ama a Paquito mucho.
We crossed over to the sanctuary. With the help of Father Rojas, the young boy replaced the infant Jesus in its rightful place, the crib in the nativity scene. Frank and I could have been wrong, but the small plaster statue seemed to approve. Mary, Joseph, the wise men, Gaspar, Melchior, Balthazar, the old shepherd, the young shepherd, the peasant, they all seem to approve.
Vuelve a tu casa, Paquito.
The priest told the boy to go home. He took hold of his wagon and started the long walk out of the church. We could say. There wasn't much to say. We just stood there and watched him go. Halfway up, he turned to look back. And he went on out.
I don't understand how he got that wagon today. Don't kids wait for Santa Claus anymore?
It isn't from Santa Claus. The firemen fix old toys and give them to new children. Paquito's family, they're poor.
Where are they, Father?
story you have just heard is true. The names and locations were changed.
Yep, that was Dragnet, the Big Little Jesus, an original air date of the 22nd of December, 1953. Again, I've played that one before on this show. It never gets old. My name is Arthur, and you've been listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. We'll be back next week. Until then, happy solstice, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, happy Christmas, Merry Christmas. If I'm missing anything, just be merry. Thanks. Yeah.